Now, I'm going to read some thoughts here just quickly. This is a minister made this something the Holy Spirit gave him. This is a ministry that we support. But he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him, "It's the God things that stay the same during change or much change that bring about stability. It's the God things that don't change or they stay the same during change or turmoil, as you might say, that create stability." So all of the things that are going on in the earth today, all of the turmoil, all of the upheaval, all of the disruption, all of those things, there's some things that never change. God never changes. He says in Malachi, "I change not." He doesn't change. And his word, or even in James, it says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of changing. He does not change. And John 1:1, what else does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word and God are the same. They never change. So no matter what's going on, isn't that great? Glory to God. No matter what's going on and hits your mind, God never changes. And his word never changes. So I have hope in God and in his word. Glory to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? His character and his word never changes. He's the same. What does it say in Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. He's the same. The Word's the same. God's the same, and they never change. So when things are looking kind of goofy, right? Go to the Word. Look at what does the Word say. Position ourselves for peace. Position ourselves for comfort. Look into the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? When things are going on in your personal life and it looks like things are in upheaval, look to Him. He is our hope. He is our strength. He's our standby. Yeah. He is Jehovah Jireh, yeah. The God who's more than enough. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. And we want to look at just some you know, foundational truths. When we talk about positioning ourselves to receive healing, one of the things that in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 5:19 in the Amplified, and one of the things that positions us is if we have an understanding or a knowledge. You know, you can't have faith or position yourself properly if you don't have knowledge. You know, anybody in the natural realm, if they want to be successful, they have to have knowledge of something. And that's the same thing in the spiritual matters. In order for me to position myself, be successful spiritually, I need to have what? Knowledge of the Word of God. And so when it comes to that, I need to know what did Jesus purchase for me through redemption? And here we have here in the Amplified, it says, "It was God personally present in Christ doing what? reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. He's not mad at us. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but doing what? Canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. Glory to God. And so, you know, what just puts you in mind of Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood. Glory to God. So his blood has purchased my salvation. It's purchased redemption for me, my redemption. And so in our redemption, there is what? A perfect healing for every believer. You have to be firmly convinced of that, that the redemption that was provided for me provides a perfect healing for me. So we can see here in Matthew 8:17 that this is a foreshadowing of our redemption. It says here that it might be what? Fulfilled. That was a foreshadowing there. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself did what? He took my infirmities and he bare my sicknesses. And we know 1 Peter 2:24. Same thing. This is now looking back at the cross. It says that his own self, he did what? Bear our sins. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. He personally bore our sins in what? His own body. On the tree, as on an altar, and offered himself on it, that we might die or cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, or the King James says stripes, by his wounds, you have been healed. So I'm going back to the same thing. If Jesus said, you are, then what does that mean? You have been. You've already been healed. You say, yeah, but I got this stuff going on. You have been healed. If he said you are, then you are. We're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight, or you can say physical senses. Glory to God. He sent his word and did what? Healed us and delivered us from destruction. Glory to God. So let's open up to Hebrews 11:6, and as you're going there, I'll remind you of a few scriptures here. What else does it say? He said, my words, John 6:63, my words are what? Spirit, and they are life. His words are spirit and life. And his word is what? Quick, sharper, and quicker than any two-edged sword. Sharp is piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Glory to God. So we know from Scripture that those things that may not be possible for men, what does it say? Are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Now, Hebrews 11:6. I want to read it from the King James and then the Passion Translation. It says, but without faith, it is impossible, or you could say what? It's not possible to please him, for he that cometh to God, say must believe that he is. And you could also say, and believe, because it's still the same thought here, that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this says here, it didn't say we need to think about it or ponder it. It said we must believe that he is. Now, let's just stop here a moment. The Bible never sets out, and God never intended. What does it say? God inspired the writers to write what they wrote by the Holy Ghost. So the Bible never sets out to prove that he is. He is. Just think about this. There's enough scripture. I mean, Genesis says, just think about it. In the beginning, God spoke things into existence. So he already existed. So I don't think that's what the scripture really means when it says, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. It doesn't mean that he exists. Because even in John 1:1, it says what? In the beginning was the Word. So he already existed. But we must come believing that he is Jehovah Rapha. What is he to me? He is my provider. He is my peace. He is my healer. And that he is a rewarder of those that come to him, diligently seek him. So I must believe that he is my healer and that he desires to heal me. He is a rewarder, or you could say he is the healer for those that diligently seek him and do what? Believe. So this word seek, when it says diligently seek him, it just means those that crave or demand or seek after. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:6 in the Passion Translation. It says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real. See, I like that. Knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. So, isn't it interesting when God puts this word must in here? You know, I was sharing this the other day. There's some things we should do, and then there's some things you must do. You should exercise, but you must eat. That's a simple thing, but you must do some things. You should wash your car, but you must put gas in it, or you ain't going nowhere. You can have a pretty clean car, but if you don't put some fuel in it, you're not going anywhere. Now, let's use a more spiritual example. If you look at being born again or being saved, there's some musts in that. You can't decide how you want to receive him. It said, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. It says you must confess him. And do what? Believe that God raised him from the dead. And you shall be saved. That's a must. So sinners can't decide, well, I think I'm going to come this way. You will miss it. Does everybody understand my point? So in order to be positioned to receive salvation, We must do what? Confess that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior, and that God raised him from the dead. But a lot of people today who don't believe that say, well, if they just live a good life, a moral life, and they're good to everybody, then I'm going to get to heaven. No, you won't. Because the scripture said you must do these two things. So he that cometh unto God must believe that he is my salvation through Christ, and that he rewards if you do what? You follow, you diligently seek him and follow that prescribed. You believe that he raised Jesus from the dead. Does everybody understand that? And that positions you to do what? Receive something from him. Glory to God. So now let's take a look at in Mark 11, 24. And I know we went and looked at this, but I want to look at it again before we look at something else. But Mark 11, 24 in the King James, it says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. This word desire means to ask or to require or demand. We're not demanding of God. We're demanding or we're requiring of the rights that are afforded us through redemption. So this says here, what things soever ye desire, what? When you pray, do what?
Believe.
So when you pray, believe that you receive them or what you desired, and ye shall have them. So now here's, if you want to be positioned to receive from God, you can see the same principles here. You have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here he's saying, if you want to receive, you have to do what? Believe, or what things soever you desire, when you pray. Believe after you pray. It says, believe when you pray that you received them, and you shall have them. Now, if you have the Passion Translation, you can look that up. You may have an electronic device. But this verse says, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe, for whatever you ask for in prayer, be convinced. See, I like the way sometimes we get this if we just look at a few different translations. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. Be convinced. Why am I convinced? Because he is my healer and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I'm convinced that when I pray, it's his will for me to have it, and I receive it. And what am I receiving? I'm receiving something that's already been paid for. Because he said in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes ye were healed. So I'm not asking him to do something. I'm believing to receive what's already been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's been done. Here's two other translations that kind of expound upon that. This is the Moffat's translation. In Mark 11, 24, it says, believe you have got it and you shall have it. I like that. And the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T, it says, be believing that you received them. and they shall be yours. Be believing that you've received it. What does that mean? There's the constant affirmation that I received it. And so this is where we're going to go with the switch of faith when we talk about this. And when we were talking the last few lessons, we were highlighting the woman with the issue of blood. And the scriptures in the Amplified in verse 28, it says, and she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. The Passion Translation, Mark 5, 28, for she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. See, this is someone that heard of Jesus. And what does the scripture say? She had an issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing better, but did what? It said she grew worse. And she heard of Jesus. She heard something about what he was doing and that those that came were healed. And I'm sure she heard that if you just touch him, you'll be healed. I'm sure she heard that. And so she came not looking to hope to get something. She was convinced that when she touched his garments, she would be healed. And she kept saying that. Isn't that interesting? Now, when we talk about the switch of faith, let me say this, that when people use terms, it's good to know what it means, because if somebody said, keep the switch of faith turned on, somebody might say, well, I don't know what that is, but I'll just keep believing. Or someone, you've got to, in order to keep a switch on, you got to know that you have it. Somebody said, keep the flashlight on, and you didn't have a flashlight, it'd be hard to keep it on, wouldn't it? So you've got to know that you've got, have activated something to keep it active. In other words, you've got to know that the switch of faith is not just believing, but here, I'm going to say something here, it's believing something very specific. I know when Pastor Sarah was on the radio broadcast, people would always call. It was inevitable. Just pray for me. Say a prayer. Pray for what? How do I know what you believe? And when I do pray, did you get it? You know, anybody that just says, oh, just pray for me, I begin to ask questions right up front. Because somebody who is in a state of confidence would say, I'm just saying. You just pray for me and I'll receive. That's confidence speaking. That's their faith speaking. But when somebody said, well, just pray a prayer for me, I begin to ask some questions right up front, because it begins for me to locate somebody. Are they really believing or confident to receive something? Are they coming confident to receive something when we pray? And so the switch of faith is the belief. I'm going to give you these two things. This is what the switch of faith is. The switch of faith is the belief that the healing power has been administered. So, in other words, if we pray and join in agreement, I believe that I receive the healing power of God. We pray, we agree that the healing power of God has been administered. Now, you know, the healing power of God can be administered in a number of ways. The laying on of hands is one way. The healing power of God can be administered through a special anointing that someone may have. That's another way. The healing power of God can be administered through the gifts of the Spirit. But the healing power of God can be received and administered. You know, received would be another way to say. The healing power of God can be received when we pray. Because what did it just say? What things soever ye desire. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. So if we come and pray that I believe I receive the healing power of God, when? When we pray, I believe I've received it. Well, I didn't feel anything. It didn't say that. So the switch of faith starts with the belief that you believe you've received the healing power of God when you pray. You believe you've received it. So in other words, when you pray, what does it say? Hope you receive something? It says, no, I receive something. What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. So the switch of faith starts with believing you received it. And then secondly, the switch of faith is the belief that the healing power of God is working mightily in your body and causing it to recover from a sickened condition. So those two things, that is what the switch of faith is. First, what do we say? It's belief. It's the belief that the healing power of God has been received and administered. And secondly, that the healing power of God is working. It's working in my body right now. Now, you can't claim it's working if you didn't believe you received it. You see how people get off? And so you can begin to, when you begin to, just for your own self or people that you minister to, do they believe they received something when they prayed or you prayed with them? If they say they hope so, or I sure hope so, then they didn't receive. Because they're hoping, and the scripture doesn't say that. It says, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe you've received it. Not hope you get it tomorrow or the next day or maybe by and by. It says, believe you've received it. So this helps you to locate yourself and locate people. And that helps you then to help them. You see what I'm talking about? So receiving healing by faith is not some mystery. So what do we say? The switch of faith is the belief that the healing power has been received. And secondly, it's the belief that the healing power is working mightily in me now. And so I think a lot of times we have to ask the questions. We need to determine sometimes when we say, keep the switch of faith turned on, do you have the switch of faith? That term we use. Do you have it? Well, then you ask, do I believe that I did what? Do I believe that the healing power of God was received? Do I believe that? Okay, then you qualify for number one. Now, number two, is it working? Is it working right now in my body? And Brother Hagin would say that when he was alive. If he laid hands on somebody, He'd say, there it is, the healing power of God has gone into you. He's done his part. They received it. Then they have to do what? Believe. See, he believed on his part to lay hands upon them and to administer the healing power of God. They have to believe to do what? Receive it. Now, once you receive it, now it's your responsibility to do what? Activate it and to do something with it. You have to now do what? Believe that it's working in you. That's the switch of faith. And so what happens here? When thoughts come, this is where things get tripped up. When thoughts come, think about just in Luke 4, we have the account where Jesus was confronted and tempted by the devil after he came out of the desert and fasting. And the devil tempted him. But every single time he was tempted, what was his response? It is written. It is written. It is written. And when thoughts come that begin to confront your beliefs and your confession of your beliefs, what's our response? What should be our response? Oh, no. I believe I received the healing power of God, and it's working in me now. Well, what happens when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report? Do you now then begin to question whether the healing power of God is at work in you? No. I believe that I received the healing power when I prayed, and it's working in me. Regardless, it doesn't mean you don't get checkups or go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. But what it does mean is that you keep the switch of faith active concerning healing and not let go, not shut off or talk about the symptoms. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. The doctor said this, he may have, but the healing power is working mightily in me. You know, just use a simple thing in the natural. You ever see these plants here that we have up in the front? What do they call them? Lily plants or whatever they call them, right? When there's not enough water, what do? They just flop over, right? And you get a little water, and you put them in, and you just drizzle it in. You don't need much. You put a little water in. Do they perk right up instantly? No. Usually takes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. You come back the next day, boom, they're standing straight up. The water is working mightily in the plant. How much more God's eternal life, his healing power is at work in me mightily, affecting what? A healing and a cure in my body. So when thoughts come about, well, this doesn't look to be work, what are we supposed to do? Keep the switch of faith. How are we to be positioned to receive anything from God? We must, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Well, if he said he is, then he is. And if I believe that I received when I prayed, it says you shall have it. And what are the other translations, the Moffat and the Wiest? It says, be believing that you received. And you shall have it. So no matter how long it takes, you know, these things, whether it's physical things going on in your body, you keep your beliefs and your confession active. You do not let thoughts that come against your beliefs. If you are convinced, then stay convinced. Keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep meditating on the Word of God. And keep speaking the Word of God. You know, I think about this, you know, sometimes, even in the area of finances, you know, sometimes you might be going through things, you know, even in this season that we're in. People have lost jobs, companies are downsizing, things are happening, right? Does that mean that he is not Jehovah Jireh? See, remember we started this lesson off? No matter all the things that are changing in society, there's things that never change. He said, I change not. What does 3 John 2 say? I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So he wants me to prosper. I need to be convinced of that. And that means that I need to do what? Believe that I receive, not just to get by, but I need to believe that I receive finances, that my bank accounts are full and running over. I need to, as God directs, find opportunities to come into position to do what? Says in it says, he that hath opportunities to do what? Sow. What is 2 Corinthians 9? It says, he does what? He gives bread for food, he gives seed to the who? The sower, and he multiplies your seed sown, and then does what? Increases the fruits of your righteousness. So for us to position ourselves to prosper, we need to be sowers. Find opportunities to sow, and that will increase. God says what? He gives seed to the sower. So that means for me, if I'm sowing and I find opportunities to sow, he's going to do what? I need to keep the switch of faith turned on concerning my sowing. Believe that I receive abundance on a return on my giving, and keep that in my mouth, and that God's opening doors for me to give bigger offerings into the work of God, and not just get by. No. Glory to God. So what do we say in closing? The switch of faith. When we say keep the switch of faith turned on, the switch of faith is the belief that the healing power of God has been administered or received. And two, it's the belief that the healing power of God is working mightily in me. And I'm to keep that active. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you're giving us opportunities to walk in faith. And even when these things come on our bodies, there's opportunities for us to believe what you've already done for us. And we thank you, Father, that the healing power of God is received and is working in our bodies. We believe to receive the healing power of God in our bodies, and it's working now in Jesus' name. And our bodies are recovering and being strengthened in the name of Jesus. And no sickness or disease that touches our body can persist in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you today for all of us collectively here and those watching online. I believe that we've received insight and revelation, and where we've not been walking in faith or we've not kept the switch of faith active, we ask for forgiveness and just say, Lord, forgive me for not walking in faith but walking in sight, and make that correction and walk in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So every time the devil comes with thoughts that confront your belief and confession, your response is, I believe that I received the healing power of God, and it is working in my body. And you know, that same principle applies where giving is concerned. You know, regardless of what you're walking through financially, it's no different of you walking through something physically. But if you're walking through something financially, when you come in contact with the laws of seed time and harvest, this is a spiritual principle. And what happens? I believe that I had an opportunity to sow. And I believe that when I sowed, that I came in contact with the laws of seed time and harvest. And God's word says that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that reapeth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You also notice something that I just saw here in saying that. You notice that it says that he that soweth sparingly shall do what? Oh, yeah, no, it does say sparingly, but it does say you shall reap. So even if you sowed sparingly, you shall reap. It didn't say you ain't getting nothing. No, the scripture doesn't say that. It says, he that even sows sparingly shall reap. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap. Isn't that good? I mean, that's good. I never saw that before. But it says, you shall. So, we need to believe when we have finances, we need to believe what? That I've sown my seed, and it's what? It's working. It's working. It's working. That's keeping the switch of faith turned on. I sowed my seed, it's in the ground, and it's working, and I shall reap. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just say that those that may be here or watching online, let's just provide this opportunity, those that have never confessed Jesus as Savior, as the Christ, and have never believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe he took my sins, and I believe he took them to hell, and they were paid for. You raised him and me from the dead, and I receive him now as my Savior. cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. If you made that profession of faith and you meant it, then let us know, contact us, let us know here today personally. We'll give you some free information. If you're watching online, just send us, contact us, let us know that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and we'll get some free information to you as to who you've become in Christ.